Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, students, to our GBCS lesson summary review for today. We're continuing with our associate degree course entitled Personal Evangelism, and we're on Section 5 this week, which is Understand the Task. So I pray that you have your study guide, your note-taking materials to take notes with us. We have quite a bit of material to cover with you in this review, so hopefully we'll get all the information in to you. If we do not get all the information, you can feel free to contact us at the school email address or by text or using our online chat room. So again, today we're setting Understand the Task. And this session will help the student understand the task and what they need in order to fulfill the task of personal evangelism. And as we always do, students, we want to pray for the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us understanding, that we will be stimulated to greater responsiveness to God's call to personal evangelism. And we also want to pray that we will become more focused on the particulars of the task as we study through this lesson. So I encourage each of you to continue to be faithful in your daily devotion time with the Lord, for this will help to prepare you spiritually for the task that we're studying today. And always remember that we are to be a role model of everything that we teach and preach. So let this be a part of our Christian lifestyle, the lesson that we will study today. So let's get a word of prayer in before we begin with our lesson review. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory today. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you for this opportunity to study your word. May our study enrich our lives as believers. May it equip us to be better servants. And may it lead and guide us, Father, in how to be effective in sharing the gospel with others. And so we thank you. We praise you in advance for what you're doing through your Holy Spirit. Be upon each student and staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary, as well as all of those who listen to these lessons around the world. We thank you for it now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So again, I welcome you to our lesson summary review today. Again, we're on our course, Personal Evangelism, which is one of our associate degree in Christian theology courses, and we're on Session 5 of this course, which is Understand the Task. Now, if you think about the introduction for this week's lesson, I want you to think about some of the written testimonies that we asked you to make note of in our last session review. We asked you to jot down briefly what your own personal testimony is of experiencing Jesus and how that experience has impacted your life. And I want you to keep that in mind, that as you relate to how Jesus has impacted your life, or if you haven't accepted Christ yet, how you would pray for God to impact your life. So think about these things, and also as you do so, there is an urgency of the harvest for those who may be seeking Christ, just as you sought Christ during the time of your testimony, or that you may be seeking him right now. So as we keep that in mind about the urgency of the harvest, it is easy to consider in our minds, but it's not always easy to bear in our heart. What I'm saying is this. Think about this question here. Why does the urgency become more compelling in our hearts during times of trouble or calamity in our lives? Or perhaps think about, why does the urgency to see souls saved or people come to know Christ may happen during, say, a wartime? Well, some of the answers to that question may be something like this. It is because you begin to feel the awesomeness of people dying. The awfulness of people dying makes us cry out more for their souls to be saved. We don't want to see people lost and separated from Christ without knowing Jesus. Sometimes we see crisis situations on television and newspapers. We may hear of youth dying in early ages. And we understand that many people are personally affected by the loss of loved ones during this time. You know, I often do funeral services as a pastor and as a minister. And many of those times, we surely try to take advantage of helping people to realize the suddenness and the temporariness of life. And so with this in mind, let's soak in the information that we will receive today, thinking about the urgency of sharing the gospel, that others will be saved and come to know Jesus Christ, because certainly, as Jesus says in the portion of Scripture, that none of us know the day nor hour that Jesus returns, but neither do we know the day or hour that we may return back unto Him. And so, in order to understand this task better and having that sense of urgency in our hearts, let's go over some of the major headings for this week's lesson. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. These are the major headings that I want to review with you during this lesson of Understand the Task. And the first heading is Workers Are Needed. The second major heading we're going to discuss is Vision Is Needed. Thirdly, Dedication Is Needed. Fourthly, we'll see that prayer is needed. Fifth, we see that humility is needed. And then finally, our sixth major heading will be understanding is needed. And so these are the six major headlines of this week's lesson review. And so let's go ahead and get started with our first major heading, which is workers are needed. This first objective asks us to give reasons why each of us must be involved as a worker in personal evangelism. Now, I like to comment that every believer is called to be a worker. For reference, you can look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, where Jesus gave us what's commonly referred to as the Great Commission. But we also see Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, that we should pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. In other words, we ought to pray for more workers. So it is God who sends us into his harvest field. But we need to realize that more workers need to obey God's call to be workers. For instance, in my case, I pray for God to send more students who would take upon the task of sharing the gospel in their local community through our network training centers, or starting a discipleship center, or perhaps doing a similar type radio program as I'm doing now to share the gospel with those that they would like to see discipled and come to know Christ. Now, another scripture I want you to make reference of is Matthew chapter 28, which I alluded to earlier, verses 18 to 20, which I briefly mentioned gives us the command or the task of personal evangelism. And as we look at that portion of Scripture again, which is, as I mentioned, commonly referred to as the Great Commission, we see that this command must be obeyed because Jesus has all authority to tell us what to do as our Lord and as our Savior. So we want to make sure that we obey the Lord of the harvest because Jesus is always with us. That's what those scripture verses encourage us and reassure us of. And so let's take a look at one of our visual aids for this lesson review. And I'll try to post these on our Facebook page if we get a chance. And if you're in the classroom, your network training center director should have a copy of the visual for you. These help us in getting a little better depth of understanding of the course material that we're covering. So we understand that workers are needed as the first part of understanding the task of personal evangelism. Now, if you have a blank sheet of paper, you can try to make notes of this to visualize what I'm talking with you about. On this visual aid, the top of the heading says, Obeying the Lord of the Harvest. And it has two scripture references for us to look at. The first scripture reference is Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And the second scripture reference is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. And it has three blocks that we need to follow. The first block at the center of your page beneath the heading of Obeying the Lord of the Harvest is witnessing. Witnessing. And witnessing means going. At the below that block to the left side, there's another block, and then there's another block beneath that to the right. So there are three blocks almost in the shape of a triangle. The second block after witnessing is winning. And winning, in that block, we talk about baptizing the believer. The third block to the left of that one is training, which includes teaching. And then we see the cycle begins over again. So from witnessing, we move to winning. And from winning, we move to training, and we begin the process over again. And this is the process that should continue, as Jesus says, that we make disciples of all nations. And this is how we obey the Lord of the harvest in doing the Great Commission. And so I want each of us to understand our part, the different ways in which we can win people, the different ways in which we can teach them. I'm using this radio program as one of the ways in order to teach those who have been won. And I pray that more opportunities would come through our ability, our opportunity to witness to others who may not have been won to Christ yet. So we continue, we see this command that Christ has given us, and we want to obey the Lord of the harvest. And here are some of the following things that we can focus on to break these different blocks down for you. The first block, as I mentioned earlier, was going. And so we understand in that section that we, the disciples of Jesus, must go to the lost to tell them the good news and to invite them to put their trust in Jesus. Inviting them to church service is not the same as it's inviting them to accept Jesus. We pray that as we do invite them to gather with other believers, that they will have the opportunity or have the invitation given to them to accept Jesus Christ. But we want to make sure that we take that responsibility upon ourselves in personal evangelism to invite the person to put their trust in Jesus. And we're going to talk about some of the ways that we can do that. We also, in this section of going, realize that sending information about Jesus through broadcasting and literature is helpful, just like we're doing here. And if you're studying by independence, you're studying your course materials. But in addition to that, we must obey the command. We need to make personal contact by showing the lost Jesus' love. This is why we invite each and every student to make an appointment to speak with your director or speak with one of the staff members at the school. We can arrange a personal phone call or Skype or a webinar in order to connect with each of you. If you're in the local area, if you're in the Atlanta metropolitan area, we have weekly discipleship classes and cell church fellowship where we can connect with you. So that is all a part of obeying the Lord's command to make disciples, and we realize that more and more workers are needed. The second block of our exercise that I just showed you with the visual was baptizing. And to understand that better, we must lead the lost to salvation. And water baptism is one of the ways that we can tell Jesus that we have connected with him in a very personal way. For as Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, we submit ourselves to baptism, and this is Jesus' way of telling each new believer that he is accepted into God's family as one of his children. The third block is teaching. And in that section, we must understand that we must teach new converts how to do, not just to remember what they have been commanded to do, but how to do what they have been commanded to do. So this requires person-to-person explanation and personal example. We must encourage new converts to obey each day the commands they now understand. So this process must continue until the new convert is able to do the same steps, which is to go, to baptize, and to teach. And this is how we make disciples of all nations. And I pray that each of us will first get equipped to go, and that we'll learn how to baptize and how to teach with the aid of the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at the first major heading of our lesson review, Understand the Task. This is Session 5 of the Course in Personal Evangelism. Now, there's another visual aid that we have for this course, and it talks about multiplying the harvest. The first visual that I talked with you about was obeying the Lord of the harvest. Now, the second visual talks about multiplying the harvest. And so as we go forth in obedience to Christ's command, we'll see that he will multiply our efforts. Now, if you want to make notes of this, you can get a blank sheet of paper and write at the top of it, multiplying the harvest. And again, we're using the scripture reference from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And on this particular visual, it starts with one person sharing the gospel with another person, which is the first block that we talked about, which is to go. They're witnessing to another person. And then they go through the process of baptizing that person. Then they go through the process of teaching that person. And then that person goes and speaks to someone else, and they do the same thing with another. And that while they're going to speak with someone else, we're moving on to a new person as well, praying for God to lead us to another person to do the same process with. And that process continues as we reach one, they reach one, who go and reach another, who then go and reach another. This is how Christ will multiply the harvest through those who are obedient to obey his command. And just using that simple analogy, if each one of us reach another person, and then the next year that person, as well as us, when it reached another person, then we will have about 1,023 new converts every 10 years, just starting with one disciple. So we need to slow down in order to go faster, is what the visual aid says at the bottom. We need to take the time to make sure that we duplicate Christ in our lives, and that therefore we can duplicate Christ in the life of others who can then take upon themselves the obedience of Christ to go into the harvest so that Christ can multiply the harvest. And this is simply helping us to understand the task and why more workers are needed. And so, again, before we move on to our second objective, let's understand this a little bit better. The multiplying the harvest visual that I just explained to you, it shows the possible results of obeying Jesus' command. One person wins and disciples one person in 1 year. The next year, the new convert also becomes a discipler, and each of them wins and disciples another person. During the third year, there are four disciples who each win and disciple one person. So with this multiplication factor, as I mentioned before, there could be potentially over 1,000 converts within 10 years, all just by starting with one discipler. So I'd like to comment that in addition to great numbers of people being saved through personal evangelism, those who are doing personal evangelism also become more faithful and fruitful Christians, which is Christ's desire for us, that we be fruitful and multiply. So that is our first major heading, workers are needed. Now let's take a look at our second major heading, which is vision is needed. The second objective asks us to explain why vision is needed in personal evangelism. So let's define vision. For the sake of our course, vision is defined as seeing things as God sees them. We see that Jesus had God's view of the harvest. He says, I only do what my Father has sent me to do. So let me ask you this question based on Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 36. Go ahead and make note of that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 36. And as you review that, how does God see the harvest? Well, we see that he sees the harvest as people in need of him, or like sheep without a shepherd. He realizes that their future is physical and spiritual torment and separation from God without him. If you take a look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15, you'll see an example of that. So let me ask you another question, students. Based on John chapter 14, verse 3, how does God see the harvest? Well, the scripture points us to, as well as your study material, it says that he sees it as people he loves with whom he wants to have an eternal relationship. So I like to explain that vision is seeing the harvest along with God. And we're seeing that God desires to bring together the lost with the one who came to the earth to find the lost. For Jesus says, I have come to seek and save that which is lost. So this depends on the person accepting Jesus' offer of salvation through Christ. And after they hear about that, they must be ready to accept that. And so we need more people to go forward to begin this process of witnessing or going to baptize and then to train them. This is what Matthew chapter 28, the scripture text I gave you, talked about. And so the worker must help the new convert to get started in this relationship. And I pray that each and every one of us will understand the different ways in which Christ can use us and the specific gifts that he has given us to accomplish this work. For as he says, I am with you always, even until the end of this age. So far, as we understand the task of personal evangelism, we understand workers are needed, and we understand that vision is needed. A third thing that is needed is dedication. So the third objective asks us to explain what is the secret to true dedication. So let me ask you a question, students. What is the secret to true dedication to personal evangelism? And as you look at your study guide and the examples that have been given, it is to view it as a mission that God has given to each of us to pursue wholeheartedly along with him. We're not to view it as one more job to do among many other Christian tasks, but it is a mission that God has given us to pursue wholeheartedly, that he is working along with us, or we are working along with him in this path. So personal evangelism is not a take-it-or-leave-it activity. It is work that we must do in order to be obedient to our Father, just as Jesus was obedient to the Father. You can see an example of that in John chapter 4, verse 34. Now, I also like to explain that if vision is seeing as God sees, then dedication is doing what God is doing, which is winning the lost. You see examples of that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. So I want each of you, if you haven't already done so, to make note of Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And I want you to read that, and I want you to apply it to your being dedicated to the task. Basically, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So he says, come, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I want you to review that portion of scripture and apply it to our being dedicated to the task. And this is why we want to submit ourselves to understanding this task of personal evangelism, understanding why workers are needed, how we need to be workers and pray for more workers, how we need to see things as God sees them through vision, and how we must dedicate ourselves that is doing what God is doing to win the lost. Let's take a look at our fourth objective. Fourth objective is prayer is needed. It asks us to describe what happens when Christians pray about the need for workers. Now, based on Matthew chapter 9, verse 36-38, I ask this question: how is prayer related to increasing the number of workers in the harvest field? Well, we know that workers are available for the harvest, but we must pray that the Lord of the harvest would send them, and we pray that he will send us as he calls us as well. We also want to ask what must be our motivation in praying for workers. Well, our motivation is love and concern for the lost, those that will be separated eternally from Christ without him. So how do we get the love that we need in order to pray effectively for the lost? Well, saints, we must pray for that too. And we must continue to pray until love for the people that we hope to reach comes into our hearts. And we realize that God will give it to us by his Holy Spirit. For some of the fruit of the Spirit is love. We can see Romans chapter 5, verse 5, as well as Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. So before we go to our fifth major heading, let's conclude prayer is needed. I like to stress the need to keep love strong in our hearts through prayer, and to keep love as our central motivation to pray. And I want to remind you that it is also through prayer that we are filled with the Spirit to receive power to be a worker in the harvest. You remember our foundational scripture as we began this course from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to refer you back to that again to memorize that particular chapter, which is the chapter that dealt with love and the importance of love. So let's commit ourselves to lay that proper foundation for our work. Our fifth major heading is humility. And the objective asks us to define humility and tell why a Christian worker needs it. So I want you to, at this time, to share your conception or misconception of humility. Write down on a blank piece of paper what you think humility means. And I want you to know that humility is an honest view of things, realizing that apart from Christ we can do nothing, but also realizing that we can do everything through Christ who strengthens us. So humility reminds us to pray and to keep trusting God rather than our own abilities, and that way we can follow him in spite of our inabilities, because Christ will work through us. Our final section was understanding is needed. We need to know the assignment that God has called us to do, and we must know the Bible. So this is why it's important that we lead people through the process of birthing, and we have visual aids that we'll post on the Facebook page for that, in order to know the assignment and to know the Bible better. So students, I thank you for allowing this time. We presented a lot of material that will help us to share the good news with unbelievers, and it will help us to disciple that person once they accept Christ. So I want you to ask yourself, are you willing to disciple new converts after they come to Christ? Are you prepared to disciple them? And if you're not prepared, are you willing to be prepared? For this is our path for personal evangelism, and I want each of us to be effective in understanding it. Thank you, students, for this time. God bless you, and we look forward to our next session. In the meantime, may the Spirit of God be upon you.